Welcome to this special presentation, Our Lady, Our Hope, by Relevant Radio contributor Monsignor James Shea, the President of the University of Mary. In this reflection, Monsignor Shea will explain the four Marian dogmas, with a fresh look at the two modern dogmas, the Immaculate Conception and the Assumption, and how they point to truths about who we are in Christ. This recording of Our Lady, Our Hope is being offered in appreciation for your recent generosity to Relevant Radio. Your financial support allows us to continue reaching souls with the message of Jesus Christ and the fullness of truth found only in the Catholic Church. If you would like to learn more about Relevant Radio, find prayer and faith resources, hear past shows and interviews, and so much more, please visit relevantradio.com or download the free Relevant Radio app in your mobile device's app store. And now, here's Monsignor James Shea.
It's the month of May, and during this month, all of us who love the Blessed Mother want to deepen our devotion to her. So let me speak with you about her for just a few minutes. Here's something I've just noticed that somehow along the way I missed before. I never really noticed it. You know that there are four doctrines concerning our Blessed Mother, four key doctrines that are taught by the Church concerning the Blessed Virgin. The first, of course, is that Mary is the Mother of God. The second is that she is perpetually a virgin, the doctrine of the perpetual virginity of Mary. The third is the Immaculate Conception. And the fourth is the Assumption. The first two doctrines, Mary the Mother of God and the perpetual virginity of Mary, were promulgated by the Church during the first centuries of the Church. And the final two, the Immaculate Conception and the Assumption, were declared authoritative in modern times, though both of these last two had been present from the beginning in some form. I used to think that this was just a historical anomaly, but now I see it has deep importance. Whenever the Church puts forward certain truths as doctrines of the faith, it's because the truths are necessary somehow for us, necessary for us to find our way to God. There are all kinds of true things that aren't doctrines of the Church. Although they're true, they're not essential for understanding and living our faith. They're not what you would call saving truths. For instance, the Pythagorean theorem is true, but it's not a doctrine of the faith. A person might be in complete error about geometric propositions and still get to heaven. St. Peter's not going to bar the gate against someone who ignorantly held that the world's flat. But it's different for doctrines of the faith, including doctrines concerning Mary. They're not just interesting or useful facts. They tell us truths that we need to know, lest we go astray on our road home to God. This means that the doctrines about Mary are not for her sake. Even now, she's reigning as Queen of Heaven in the presence of God, honored by all the mighty angels. The prophecy that Mary spoke about herself soon after the Annunciation, at the Visitation, that all generations would call her blessed, had partial fulfillment within fallen human history, but it's utter fulfillment has already taken place beyond the small confines of this passing world. Right now, she's being called blessed by every generation of a renewed humanity who are living in God's presence, by the whole of the Church triumphant, and so she will be for all eternity. I note this only to deflect an error that sometimes arises concerning Our Lady. Whether as a defender or as a critic of Catholic doctrines about her, some people view the purpose of those doctrines as beginning and ending with Mary herself, and they either defend the doctrines as a point of honor in giving Mary her due, or they attack the doctrines as a form of idolatry that pays too much attention to someone other than Christ. But to this error, from both sides, the Church responds by insisting that doctrines concerning Mary are not important in what they do for her, she has no need of them, but in what they do for us. The truths concerning the Blessed Mother are saving truths, necessary for us. So, an example of such a saving truth is the first ancient doctrine that calls Mary Theotokos, God-bearer, the Mother of God. The Church has insisted on this doctrine not for what it says about Mary, but actually for what it says about Christ. If we misunderstand the divine and human in Christ, we put our salvation itself at risk. And this is what so many of the early church councils were about. Specifically here, the Council of Ephesus, where the church was responding to the heresy of Nestorius, who was the Patriarch of Constantinople, and who taught that Christ is human, but not fully divine. In order to get at and to answer this heresy, the Council of Ephesus declared about the nature of Christ that Mary is the Mother of God. You see how clever and thoughtful that is. Mary is a human, and human mothers give birth to human babies. But if Mary the human is the Mother of God, that means that Jesus, in his nature, in his essence, has a divine nature and a human nature. He's fully human and he's fully divine. The same is true for the other ancient doctrine concerning Mary, her perpetual virginity. This was meant to say something not simply about her, but about Christ. And these two doctrines were promulgated during a time when the church was grappling with questions of Christ's identity as the divine Son of God made man, and many false notions about him were threatening to rob the gospel of its power. Now, the two modern doctrines about Mary, her Immaculate Conception and her Assumption, point not so much to truths about who Christ is, as to truths about who we are in Christ. They speak of God's plan for the human race at a time when there have been profound challenges concerning the truths of human nature. To speak theologically, the two early doctrines are Christological in their importance. They're about Christ. The two modern doctrines are anthropological in their intent. They're about the human race in Christ. Mary is the pattern of what God is doing with the renewed human race. What she is like, we will be like. What she has become in all essentials, we will become. And we can see here something now of the significance of both the Immaculate Conception and the Assumption, and why I was wrong to think that it was just a historical anomaly that the Immaculate Conception and the Assumption would only be declared in modern times. These are doctrines that spread out in many directions, but one important aspect of their truth is that they show us what a human being is meant to be and will be if God has his way. Mary was conceived without sin, which is to say she was a healthy rather than a diseased or fallen human being. She is even now united in body and soul, in perfection and beauty, which is where we're headed if we stay with Christ. When we look at Mary, we see in reflection our own true identity. And this is one reason we call Mary our hope, because she shows us our future. Now, let's step back a moment and consider the world in which we live. We have been inundated by false notions of humanity, maybe the most delusional notions that the world has ever come up with. We have come to believe in the modern era, many of us, that our freedom and dignity depend on throwing off the rule and even the existence of a God who gets in our way, and on creating ourselves or recreating ourselves according to our own lights and desires. It all sounds grand and stirring, but what's the result? The last 100 years have seen human degradation on a scale hardly imagined before. Under the influence of such lies, literally hundreds of millions of people have been violently done away with, whether at the hands of tyrannous rulers and merciless armies, or under the knives of pitiless technicians who snuff out human lives when they have hardly begun. Theories of sexual liberation have led to all manner of degradation, abuse, and violence toward the weakest. In the wake of all this wreckage, many around us have simply lost hope. Despair, depression, substance abuse, and suicide are only the most obvious symptoms of a societal disease that has gripped our world. In the midst of all this false hope and human carnage, an evident fact emerges. We don't know who we are. We don't know who we've been created to be or where we're headed. We are lost in the cosmos. Is it surprising, then, in the midst of such a time, that the Holy Spirit would guide the church to the medicine the world needs in order to fight this deadly poison? Is it surprising that while the Blessed Mother has been very present to the church from its beginning, she has perhaps never been so insistently present in our own time? The Marian apparitions of the 19th and 20th centuries have a new kind of urgency and poignancy about them. The truths about Mary's perfected humanity are like lights shining in a dark place, as if Christ were saying to us, "Look at her, see her, see her purity, her freedom from all darkness, her strength, her graciousness, her absolute perfection, her power against all the attacks of the devil. See what I have done in her. See my divine life shining through her. See the road of love and humility she took to arrive there. Now remember, she is your mother, and you are her children. You share her nature. You're meant to be like her. See your mother, and then for the first time, see yourselves, and wake up from the dark nightmares of your age." As an ancient liturgy once prayed on the Feast of the Assumption, today the flame-like choirs of the angelic spirits see our human nature, which was drawn out of the dust of the earth, and they tremble. This is deeply encouraging for us fallen sinners in the midst of a godless age, to know that the church gives us such truths that we can rally close to the truth of God, which is offered to us both about how we should come to heaven and what the world is really about. Here we see, in the Blessed Virgin Mary, our hope. And so we love her during this month of May, and we reconsecrate our hearts to her with gratitude, knowing that she was given to us, especially in these two modern doctrines of the Immaculate Conception and the Assumption, as a light to bring us back to her Son. And so we love her. And we call to mind that saying, so powerful, of the martyr of Auschwitz, St. Maximilian Kolbe, who said, "Never be afraid of loving the Blessed Virgin too much. You can never love her more than Jesus did." Have a blessed month of May.
Thanks for listening to Our Lady, Our Hope with Monsignor James Shea. To learn more about Relevant Radio, find prayer and faith resources, hear past shows and interviews, and so much more, please visit relevantradio.com or download the free Relevant Radio app in your mobile device's app store.